Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. What I didn't understand when I first started teaching is that real freedom is like the full capacity for an emotion and for all emotions, the full range of them. And I thought with regard to allowing it all, and you know, they would say, well, if you can be at peace with anger and all emotions, then you're free. And I thought, well, that just means if I can allow triggers, you mean? Because I don't really get angry, I would say back then, because I buried all that. And so I didn't even know what or how to experience the full allowing of all emotions because I had repression. And what I was allowing were things that were appearing in my awareness that weren't buried. And so I kept allowing safer emotions and kept thinking, well, this I'm allowing my true thoughts and feelings. But I wasn't, because when I was a kid, and I didn't get my needs met, I did not know this, but I was angry and I couldn't express that. So I stored it in my body with those unmet needs and then just lived my whole life suffering until I did repression inquiry and then it ended. Now I look back and I go, how do I articulate it? Because I started this damn thing as a teacher and here I am. Now I have something really valuable to offer. Where like the first 10 years, I keep telling people I can't even endorse my books. I certainly can't endorse books that are like it out there from other teachers because of what I've seen. And I have a really good inquiry that can end suffering. And you know, and every day I wake up just completely enthused to talk about it. That's why I do so many podcast episodes. Like I enjoy social media. I don't care if you listen or not. I don't need your love and approval. I'm having fun. It's a playground. It's everything I ever wanted. Truthfully, abundance, flow, those are not just concepts. People who have repression say they are. It's just not true. Like passion, and that's life. If you have your life force, you have everything. You have the full range of yourself. It's more than peaceful. It's embodied. It's free. It's also deeply beyond any peace that I could have ever imagined. But... Okay, so now that I have something to offer is when I start getting really interested in the topic of what's actually creating suffering for people. Because that's what helped this method become so good, is to make conscious how we create suffering so we can end it. But then I'm digging deep into that. I discovered some interesting things that continue to help me transform, wake up. See, because to me, this is about, ultimately, can I say this? All this spiritual stuff to me is really about human connection. It's about relationship. It's about being ourselves. That's all. And when it's cloaked in certain language, even science, and I'm guilty of that, or spirituality, it does get removed from it. But in the direct experience, it very much is about life, relationship, authenticity, freedom, like true embodied non-duality is very relational, if you can imagine, with the full range of emotions, and secure in that, like beyond secure, because the only thing that needs security is that conditioning of ego and separation anyway, on an emotional level. So there, so now it's like, this is how life works, because the irony of it all is now I have something really to offer. But then I started to discover how people choose, because I went into the research to discover why have we discovered in what I consider the root of suffering, and how did I miss it? And I found out, I mean, I've been telling people on the Medium through my blogs how we all missed it. Academics, teachers, therapists, researchers who were not embodied missed it. And then came people like Bessel van der Kolk, who said, well, the reason that you missed it is because it takes present moment awareness and the processing of the buried emotions so you can feel and express what's true. And there it was. And when I did all that research in those blogs, I kept referring back to, we're in a different era, because we now can look back, this is why I'm blogging, and see why we missed it. And then it's like a call to action. So those blogs are just nothing more than I'm just kind of taking everybody on to get their attention. I don't think I'm right. I'm just trying to see, can I provoke you if you're an academic? Can I get you a teacher to debate me so we can open up discourse? Can we stop being so disconnected? What's going on? What if there are buried emotions driving all this and we're still lying to ourselves by thinking that anything is really separate, like medicine, therapy, spirituality, genetics, culture? What if that's still the suffering? What if this is much bigger than we thought? What if we end suffering and we see completely new ways to develop pathways where we don't suffer anymore, because we're not choosing survival and separation from a very unconscious place? Just imagine the possibility. Okay, so when I went into science to see, because this is a possibility, and I blogged about it, like, here's all these people talking about this, talking about how we choose, talking about what motivates us, talking about what creates suffering, talking about the pleasure-pain principle, which is all basically the same thing. And you'll see in the blogs that, and I feel like research and logic to back it up, you can see what you think, that Freud had it, he was a foundational thinker on something, even if you have criticism and you have every right to other things, because nobody's right on everything, but he was partially right, like everyone on this important issue. Everyone's partially right. All the great thinkers in religions and spiritualities, Ken Wilber's point. But where he was really right for us was emotional repression produces suffering at the surface. So nobody has disputed it. And I've shown the research and the line of that research to show it. And you can go look yourself. And many people got away from it to both help us and give us a more robust view, but also to disconnect us from Freud's finding. And modern science not only confirmed Freud, but went much further. It's not just Freud. I don't know if he said, you know, repression creates disease or chronic pain, but science is saying, yes, it creates mental health, just like Freud and addiction, but also many diseases and chronic pain. So we're in a new era, really, but you have to look for it, because this is repression and we hide it and people are seeking safety. This is why we've missed it. So what I finally did is I came, as I said, to Hoffman's experiment, Donald Hoffman, who has been studying, well, why would we miss something unless we were trying to survive? He doesn't frame it that way about missing something, but missing the root of suffering is what I'm interested in, of course. And so he's interested in survival and evolution and studying that. And so he does the thought experiment where humans are given the choice. I think maybe they have, I don't know if they have to react quickly or how the specifics are. So they don't have to think about it too much. I don't know. I would like to go deeper into it. But given the two choices between, on the one hand, on the left, survival, something that gives them safety, which might not be truth or reality, it's just safe, their own conditioning, for example. And then on the other side would be reality, freedom, or truth, whatever you want to say, things as they really are. And people never choose the right in the experiment, which is his point, is that that's how we've survived, is by not being interested in what's true. And so therefore we only see what we need to see. Our conditioning gives us, produces this world that looks external, but objective, but it isn't. It's one of the main things he's saying. That's not objective. That's like a convenient headset, a virtual headset. Your reality is not what really is. It's what you need to see to survive. And you're choosing, we're all choosing. I would say as long as we're really unconscious to the mechanism that chooses separation, which is repression. That's Freud. Because Freud also studied the choosing. Choosing, in other words, if you have unconscious conditioning, you can't choose beyond it. It's like it's driving things. And really, that's intergenerational trauma. We now have the research now that connects that to Freud, to say Freud was talking about repression, and repression is very connected to trauma, Bessel van der Kolk, and here even to science and things like Donald Hoffman's thought experiment, and there's no fixed reality, and we're only ever seeing fitness payoffs. We're only seeing what we need to see to survive as a separate self. Now, let's make this really personal, because you have to see all that, because it's stuff that we're so unconscious to. How would you know that even if you're looking for truth, you keep avoiding? I mean, how would you see it in the moment if it's unconscious? You couldn't. And that's why we suffer, because it's unconscious. But if people don't talk about it, you wouldn't do anything about it, and you would keep choosing suffering, choosing separation. Now, when it comes to like sharing the message, if I could just take it to a more personal place. In my relationship with Chester, which I'll just mention in this podcast because I've gotten permission to from him to mention this, because he and I are not together, and that's what's supposed to be, just so you know, I'm not unhappy about that. I am like, if you guys knew how good I'm doing, is really, what's so ironic, as I said, is I have more freedom than I could ever have imagined. I have still difficulty articulating it, I can see, and connecting and making it relatable. So this is what this is about, is wanting to make it relatable. But I have to tell my story here a little bit, because I can't just come out here and like be like really empathetic and, yeah, let me get real here. I can't just come out here and appeal to your pain and in any way coddle that. And for me, just a personal thing, I can't point away from the repression, and it doesn't sit well with me. It's just a thing. It's like an authenticity thing. It's not even a teacher thing. I can't do it because it's false. And there is so much narcissism on social media, which is needism, is what I'm calling it in my blogs, where when we don't process our buried emotions, we have unmet childhood needs as teachers and people and social media influencers. So we're trying to get our needs met everywhere. Now that has a deep and profound impact on people. If I'm someone who is wanting to help you or helping you, well, from where am I coming? Because if I'm doing something that I'm not aware of, that's coming from now what we know the root of suffering, emotional repression, well, then I'm going to be contributing unconsciousness and suffering to every relationship, because that's how trauma works. And it doesn't matter if I'm a teacher or a social media influencer. The thing is with empathy, we can kind of overlook a lot of things, and people do. So for example, if I show up really empathetic, you might overlook that, well, maybe I have some shadows. Maybe I have some buried anger. Maybe I have some relationship issues that I'm not talking about. I'm not really being transparent about, because I'm really talking about your experience. See that? Or maybe I don't know my own covert narcissism with anger repression, and I see this a lot. Is it there are people, teachers, and social media influencers who are doing this, and it's a trauma bond, and they have a lot of energy to help you, and they're really empathetic. They have that energy that comes off that way. And if you all knew how much comes from repression, you would turn in the other direction. But you, if you have repression, you might turn towards those people. And I now know why empathy online, it's like a culture. And if you're empathetic, you're in the right group. And if you don't show empathy, or if you don't cultivate it or make it really important, you're in the wrong group, in a way. This is deep. Because as an anger repressor, I had to identify with empathy. And I think this is what anger repressors don't know or realize. Empathy is just a natural trait of humans, but because of trauma, some people have to hold it back, and then some people have to identify with it and present it and put it forward. But it's ego either way. So a hurt or sadness repressor might not feel safe showing empathy, And so they have to put forth something else like power or something else big, not necessarily empathetic. That's too close to the vulnerable emotions. And then for me as an anger repressor, I had to put forth empathy. I couldn't put forth power. My power and my anger was buried. So I had to identify with empathy to protect myself. Not because it was what I really was. We all have empathy. I still have it. But it has to be authentic. With buried anger, it wasn't authentic. It was manipulative. But nobody could see it. Some people would see it, and they would comment on it. Like, I remember reading a blog, and it said, this is about me, like in 2012. Well, it seems like Scott and the other girl that works with him, that they're just preying on people who were wounded and victimized. Like, well, if I would have read that back then, I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm helping people get to their issues, damn it. And I'm offended by that, and you don't know what I'm doing. But absolutely, I was preying on people. That's what people do with buried anger and their empathy. Is because empathy, if you identify with it, you can just get away with a lot. You don't have to really be authentic. You don't have to actually, like, if you're empathetic, you can actually fool people. You don't know you're doing it, but like you can hide. You could have addictions like I did in the background, and like porn stuff or sex stuff that's like really dirty or raunchy. And like the empathy that you show to people is like a way to cover that. But the people who are really empathetic, they on social media, they don't want to tell you about that. They're not telling you about that. Nobody talks about their shadows when they have repression, because the shadows would reveal the falseness. And so there's just a lot of falseness. So what you can look for, though, is the package. You know what I mean? That's just too fucking good to be true. Probably trying to get its needs met. The package. I'm telling you, but you guys don't want to hear it. This is the message. Many people don't want to hear what I'm about to say or any of this. And I found out you could say the right way by asking people that would tell me the truth. Okay, so this is how this came about. I was working with so we want to market this week. We want to get it out there. We want people to know about it. And so we hired some people to help us, because when you do this work, you don't identify with empathy. You just have empathy, but you also have power. You have your authenticity, you have your vulnerability, you have all of that. And you feel like a whole human being. And you don't want to go back into relationship or on social media and go back to like false anything. You don't want love and approval. And, you know, you still might want to share that with people, but you don't need anything from them. Except I want you to help me pay my bills, to be honest with you. That's the only thing. And I enjoy what I do. But what I've learned is I don't know how important that is to people. I really don't. Because I started to go into this science on this thought experiment where Donald Hoffman said we always choose safety. It doesn't matter if we get the choice for truth on the other side or how things really are. It doesn't matter, because as long as we have repression, we're always going to choose survival and separation. And that experiment, that science did help me a lot, because then I started to go to my team after talking. Well, this person who's going to help us promote the work mentioned that, you know, I said, what do you think is the number one thing that connects people in a social media message on stuff like this? And the person said, empathy. Right. Empathy. Exactly. Right. Okay. Wow. We haven't seen the toxicity of that culture yet, have we? And who's driving that culture? A lot of anger repressors online are driving that. A lot of anger repressors come to spirituality. Anger repressors identify with empathy. Of course, that's what would be reaching people, because that's codependency. But people don't want to hear that. Because with anger repression, why would you want to hear that? Empathy protects us. When we identify with it, it's ego. We're not empathetic people. There's no such thing as an empathetic person. There's no such thing. That's a construct. that protects us, just like a powerful person. These are all qualities of what we are. We can embody all of them and give up the shadows and give up all the falseness, all the stuff that makes us trauma bond with people who can't really help us, that are just helping us survive and get our needs met and stay in suffering because of that codependency and the unwillingness to speak directly. And here's where I'm going to go. I went to my ex, Chester, and I said, would you give me some honest feedback? Because I knew he would. Because he's a big reason why the repression inquiry started to be developed, is when I was out there helping everybody, just like a lot of these people with anger repression from codependency, and couldn't admit it. Couldn't admit that I had anger repression. Couldn't admit what was driving me and the need for love and approval. Couldn't admit any of that covert stuff. And he said, I think your chronic pain is emotional. And then I got triggered and self-protective, as anger repressors do, defensive and sensitive like anger repressors do. But eventually, I found that he was right, because if you really listen to people, they almost always have something to show you about yourself. So the repression inquiry was developed, and then I came to this real place of freedom where I don't have to be falsely empathetic. Authentic empathy comes with boundaries. It comes with real love. It comes with honesty. It comes with not trying to fix or change anyone or control their experience at all, and letting them have the open space to truly just be exactly what they are without any trying to push beyond it, unless they're open to process. But that's them. That's there. And then I help people learn how to process, but the pushing, the trying to get people to be different, to do anything different than suffer, frankly, is not love, because people need to know where they're at. And people who help people sometimes will not let people be where they're at, or they will not help people get to the root of what's arising and keeping them stuck where they're at. The repression. I went back to Chester, and so we ended our relationship because that was exactly what was right. Well, for me. So this is not a sad story. I asked him a question. I said, you know, when I had anger repression, I would come across as empathetic because I was manipulative. I didn't know it. I was trying to get love and approval, and I was being false. He understood that because I went through the whole transformation in that relationship. But that's what he was attracted to in me in the beginning, is because when I had even that false empathy coming from buried anger, it made him feel safe. And even though, but we entered a trauma bond because of that. Needs were being met. And I said, well, okay, on social media, I think there's trauma bonding, and I want to ask you a question, Chester. I just want you to give me not your opinion of the overall thing, but what attracts you on social media? And I think I said the word attract because I think we have to talk about it that way. It's like, if somebody's attractive, that might draw us to them. But also, it's energetic attraction from trauma, like shadows. So I used the word attract, and I knew he would know what it meant. And I explained that thought experiment. I said on the left side is like the old Scott Killaby that didn't understand that teaching and helping can be automatically about getting needs met. And that's, so therefore when I'm teaching and helping, people are staying safe from buried emotions when they used to come to me. And so I couldn't help them in suffering that way because the buried emotions create the suffering. He knows all that. I said, but on the left side, if they're giving people a choice, I said, what I'm trying to find out is what do people choose? On the left side, if somebody's really empathetic, but they can't help you in suffering because they don't know that their identification with empathy is coming from buried anger. They haven't resolved their suffering, but they're empathetic. There's your left side choice, Chester. And then on the right side is somebody else who would just more tell you how it is. Like it'd tell you, well, this is kind of how you're suffering and here's the root of it. If you become, you know, just like truth or the reality of things. And he said, oh, I would definitely be attracted to the first one, legitimately attracted to the empathy. And he understands it's from his trauma. He's not dumb, but it doesn't matter. And And that's all I had to say. I mean, he can't trigger me because I've done so much processing with him that now I just love his feedback because it always teaches me something. And it's really true because his feedback resonates with me, that I've seen it too. And so this is really interesting because it brought up the issue of empathy on our team. We got 3 anger repressors who are part of the leadership team, who have done this work. And, you know, we always led with like that false empathy. You may not even recognize it because it might just look like empathy to you. But there's a whole culture out there of like, again, if I can show enough empathy for your suffering, you're going to follow me on social media. And then, you know, that's just safer and people keep choosing it. But that's often coming. See, now the research is saying from codependency and buried anger, they'll show you the research. And it's so true because that's where it came from for me. So it's inauthentic, but nobody can see it really. And that's why people keep suffering. It's like an avoidant spiritual path. And then there are the enablers, are the people that are really codependent and won't own it. Okay, that's like telling you how it is. And nobody really seems to want that because people keep choosing the empathy and the safety. Well, especially even if it's toxic, because empathy can be toxic in a relationship. I mean, I've seen it be very divisive. I'm always the good one. I'm always the empathetic good one. And you're like always the bad one with the problems. And I always have to like get away or decide whether I'm going to stay or go. It's all fucking bullshit. And then like you don't have empathy like I do. It's so divisive and mean and aggressive. And it has destroyed my relationships. What are you talking about that that's the way? When people are suffering and people bring repression and toxicity into relationship in their own ways, sometimes through an overload of empathy, which is just self-protective. Cannot anyone see this? I mean, I've suffered as a result of it. So I've had to go through some growing pains to hear all this. It wasn't a trigger. It was just like, wow, thank you for just telling me that basically I wouldn't even attract my own ex even as a teacher now because he's going to go after the anger repressing, more codependent. That's what he told me. So enlightening when people are honest, I tell you. And that feels right, actually, given where we're at. But at the same time, it's so helpful like with what I'm doing as a teacher because as I brought it back to the team, I said, you know, I hope people can see how much empathy I have because this is why I do this every day. But what I have to have is authenticity. And to think that I have to, or would even have to appeal to a nervous system that just always needs to be safe is rather frightening in any relationship, very repressive. However, maybe I can just appeal in the future to empathy from a different place. It just has to feel right for me, is that, look, let me just say it this way. I can't fix you. I can't change you. I can't save you. I can't wake you up. To even pretend is fucking manipulative. And that's the truth. People don't want to hear it. That's the truth. And I don't have anything to offer if I have repression. I have needs that I need met. And that's what I was doing. This to me is very empathetic to just tell you this. I can't think of anything more empathetic than owning all this so that you don't at least get trapped with me in it anymore. You can get trapped with others, but I'm going to shine a light on my shit because I don't want to suffer anymore and I'm not. I don't suffer. So anybody can suffer if they want to with any of this. But I will not do that in this lifetime. I will not prey on people anymore. That's what's happening, preying on people with trauma bonding, and people are not taking responsibility for it. But there's that last time I'm going to say it in that harsh tone. I actually am not going to unless you guys comment and tell me you want to hear more of it. Because what I keep hearing from everybody is they just want to hear that old empathy. And I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to do it that way. But I want to hear from you guys on this topic because is that all you guys want? Is that all people want is to be held in that way? I mean, what I see is that we start there where it feels safe has to feel safe. And that's what we're going to do, is show you that repression is driving everything and you're choosing from an unconscious mechanism of safety. That's the avoidant spiritual path. That's bypassing. But, you know, somehow I can't do it if it's not authentic. And I think that's what's empathetic. But if, and I think that what I have, to be able to do this, I have to have boundaries and I have to be able to express myself. I have to say that I can't do it that old way. And if you expect me to, just go away, please. Or just tell me how you think and let's hash it out, because I can't be that for you. And stay here and connect with me, but I will not do it because it's not loving. It's just so aggressive. If y'all could see how aggressive codependency really is, and it looks so fucking peaceful and loving. It's covert narcissism, needism. Go read my blog on the Medium called Needism. The more repressed we are, the more narcissistic we behave. And that includes the helpers of the world who are so empathetic from their anger repression and preying on people. I don't want to prey on anybody anymore. When you get really free, you do not want to hurt people. And that's what that is hurting people. Because if you don't get to the root of suffering, people have to keep suffering. They don't even know how they're suffering. And then you go to somebody who doesn't even show any interest in showing you, because they don't know how to end suffering, but they're getting something out of it by helping you. And then you're getting something out of it by not ending the suffering. And I know that there's some people out there who are wanting to choose something different. Where are you? Speak to me, because all I hear are the voices that say, I want empathy. I want people to tell me that it's not me, that I don't have buried emotions, and that maybe it's the other guy, or maybe I don't have to process my buried emotions. Everybody's telling you guys that. You don't want me to do that, do you? So what do you want? Because this is a year in which I'm going to listen to my partners in relationship. Just like I listened to Chester, I was like, tell me how we're connecting or not from your perspective. And he said, in this way, you're not. I said, thank you. I want to hear from you guys. In what way do we connect? In what way do we not? I mean, I can go any direction. I can get really personal. I promise you. I could every day tell you things and make it all about my experience and just be so transparent, because I have no problem with that. But is that effective? I would enjoy it. I could tell you stories, made up stories that illustrate repression. You know, I could do that. I could just speak directly and say, no, that's suffering. No, you're choosing suffering. No, that's avoidance. No, that's a bypass. Do you see? Here's the way. Go, go, go. I could be that direct Zen master. But you, I want to hear from you what you want, what connects you, what resonates. And I'll just tell you that going forward, I doubt if I will take any of the feedback and try to change anything, to be honest with you, at a conscious level. I won't. I can't do it. I can't, like, if somebody says, you're a little bit too confident on this issue, I'm like, that is not something that I'm going to try not to do. Because what I need to do is just see, is there some fear that's in me? Is that bringing something that's not real? I need to process it from the unconscious, not try to change it and be more humble. I will not fucking do that. I will not do false humility, which is anger repression. You guys, you have to understand, there's a lot of falseness by just being the kind of person that you think is really disarming. There's a lot of suffering in it. So what I'm going to do is be myself, but I want to hear from my partner. I want to see how me being myself is either resonating or not. Or, yeah, I want to hear, because it's, all relationship is two ways. And I feel like the whole social media engagement, you can't really do it until you do your own work. Because the engagement is usually to get needs met. You know, it's like, do you like my content? Well, where the fuck would that take us? That you like my content doesn't take us anywhere. But engagement to me would be like, you comment and you say, you know what? Yeah, I think I feel safer when somebody doesn't tell me that I bury anger. You know, like I'm attracted to that. Or maybe, no, Scott, I really like it when you just say it like it is. Or even when you get angry, can you engage with me in 2025 more? Especially the people who listen I will not reject you or block you except for one limited circumstance so that you feel safe. And I'll set that boundary now. If you're the kind of person who just does not process anything and you just go on to a video or something or a podcast just to stir up shit, after a while, you'll be blocked. Because I don't want my time and energy spent with you just because you don't process. That's a boundary. But almost anything else is open, like criticism, debate, discourse. Send me links that disagree. Say, oh, it doesn't resonate with me. I like it when you share like that, but I disconnect when you do this. I promise to process my own stuff. I promise to engage. If not in the comments, sometimes I will. Sometimes I'll read the comments and then go and present something and acknowledge it. But this is the year for engagement and relationship for me, teaching and mentoring in a different way that's relatable. If there's one thing I want to say above all else, as I sit and I had to get up and pace because there was noise outside and I thought, well, I don't want to stop the podcast. Now I have to kind of pace around the room here to get away from the sound. The one thing I want to leave you with is this, in case I never come back to this subject of how I interact on social media. There's very little that I need. I know that. Like, I've really done processing around this because I have to look at my needs with this work. And I don't need your love and approval or validation. It's not important. I'm glad if you like the work, it doesn't change anything for me personally. If you don't like the work, that doesn't change anything because I totally transform with this work. Nothing will move that. But it just means it wasn't right for you. What I want to do is hopefully share with you that what freedom looks like will be something that you can't imagine, and that it is your authenticity, and that if you ever become really free someday, these issues will become important to you in your relationship, as you see not only how people relate to you, but whether you want to be in relationship with them. Because I've watched certain people leave this message, and I'm like, I'm so glad that you're leaving, because we were not right for each other. And then I've seen other people come, and it's like, where have you been? Wow, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were out there. And they'll say, I didn't know you were out there because you were talking about awareness and I was trying to end suffering. And then you started talking about ending suffering and I became interested, but not in non-duality. It's like, I understand. So there's like a lot of relationships that can happen this year from people who are really ready. But I want people to understand is no matter what you think about me, think about it this way. No matter what you think about me, it doesn't matter because I'm free. Can you imagine? Think about it, that kind of freedom. It doesn't matter what you think about me. I'm free. Do you want that freedom? Or do you want to suffer? Because so much is about getting our needs met, where we're always trying to be something for other people and get something from them. The only thing I need is a little bit of money to pay my bills and retire so I don't have to teach until I'm 90. That's it. Done. There's nothing else. I have the love. It's within me. I share it every day with the people that are important to me. I have everything I need in that regard. And I can build more or subtract if relationships are not right. And that's the kind of freedom that you have. And in the end, if I die and only 100 people heard it, doesn't matter. Because I found freedom in this lifetime. When you find freedom in this lifetime, that's the only thing that matters. And you're willing to just say anything, really, to share it. And so probably you'll hear me do that. But I heard you, and I want to hear from you more on whether you want to hear that. So thanks for listening. I'm not going to send you to my programs. I just want to hear your feedback today, much more in the comments and going forward. Not about your projection for today towards me, unless you want to share it. But like, is the message connecting for you in a way that makes you drawn to do emotional repression inquiry with us? And it, you know, it's going to be a combination of no, because the way you're expressing it, Scott, and or no, because I'm resistant. And if we can both agree that relationship is two ways, we can go deeper together, and I can express it in a way that's more relatable and communicates better, because communication is about really communicating. And then you might be more open to the work through that quote-unquote social media engagement. Thank you for listening.